And you go to church, you tend to dress nice. When you go camping, you bring survival stuff and clothing and food and extra stuff. What else? Yeah. Okay, there's a difference in how you get dressed up, right? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Anything else that you do differently? Does your car look different when you're headed out? Or your pickup or your truck?
Yes.
Got a little bit more stuff with you, perhaps, when you're getting ready to go camping?
Yes.
On that. Well, this is a week of preparation as well. We call it Holy Week. Holy meaning special, set apart. And it's a different week from all the other weeks in the church year because we're celebrating and looking forward to what happens during this special week called Holy Week. As we began our worship this morning, we did something a little bit different, didn't we? What was that? You're still waving them. Go ahead and grab a palm branch. We had the palm branches. Why did we have palm branches? It's Palm Sunday, right. And when in our gospel text, it didn't talk specifically about palm branches, but in the other gospel accounts, it talks about palm branches. In our gospel for this morning that I read, it talked about them laying their cloaks, their coats down on the ground in front of the colt that Jesus was riding in on. In some of the other gospel accounts, they talk about the palm branches. So we talk about today being Palm Sunday when we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. There's other things that are going to happen this week as well. We're going to celebrate on Monday, Thursday, when Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. He washed their feet and told them that they should do the same. He celebrated the Lord's Supper with them. And then on Friday, we remember, we call it Good Friday, the day that Jesus was arrested and crucified for us so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So all that happens this week. There's a lot going on. And there's a lot going on this morning in our worship service as well. One of the things that's going to be a bit different at the end of the service is that we're going to take the things off the altar and the pulpit and the lectern. They called the pyramids. Remember we talked about those a few weeks ago, the different color of pyramids that the church has. We're using the purple color right now because that's a color of royalty, and Jesus was the royalty coming into Jerusalem. It's also a color of a somber color, which is part of the Lenten season when we remember our need for a Savior. So at the end of the service, some people are going to come up. They're going to take all these pyramids off, and they're going to put black ones on where you see the purple ones. Why would we put black ones on there? Any ideas? What makes you think of when you think of black? Yeah. Somebody dying. What else? Something scary? Yeah. I think those things are all things that you think of on that. Not good. It's kind of a somber thing, right? Kind of a sad, or it's not as bright and cheerful as red or white or something. And so we color the altar and the pulpit and the lectern with that color of black because we're mourning Jesus' death. We're also remembering that everybody abandoned Jesus at the cross. And then what color do you think things are going to be on Easter Sunday when we come next week? Bright, happy. They're going to be white. Yeah, the color of the resurrection, the color of new life. Will you pray with me? Dear God, help us to remember Jesus this week. Amen. So if you're going to think of something that reminds you of this holy week, this special week that's so full with so many different things, what kind of shape might that be? A bunny? We're already jumping to Easter. That's what we do, is it, most people. Okay, an egg would work. A leaf? That would be a tough cookie shape, wouldn't it? A palm tree? That would work as well. I did kind of use a tree. I used a cross because that's part of what this Holy Week is about, is Jesus suffering and dying on the cross for us. So that's our shape for this morning. I invite you to grab a cookie on your way back to your seats. And I invite our gospel readers to come forward at this time. You'll notice in the gospel reading that you have from Luke chapter 22 that there are four parts in there There's a part for a reader, a Christ figure, a voice, and one for the congregation. So you have a part in this reading this morning as well. And we'll let you begin.
Go ahead, Megan. The Passion of the Lord, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23 and 56. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying,
this cup is the new covenant of in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at the table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
when I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing.
They replied. He said to them,
but now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
it is enough.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike with a sword?
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
stop, no more of this.
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
this man too was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
woman, I don't know him.
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
you
to or one of them.
But Peter answered,
My friend, I am not.
About an hour later, still another insisted.
Surely this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
My friend, I do not know what you are talking about.
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
Who is it that struck you?
And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said,
If you are the Christ, tell us.
But he replied to them,
If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question, you will not respond. But from this time, one, the Son of Man, will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
They all asked,
Are you then the Son of God?
He replied to them,
You say that I am.
Then they said,
What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth.
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He said to him in reply,
You say so.
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds.
I find this man not guilty.
But they were adamant and said,
He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to here.
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by, accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him, and after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
But altogether, they shouted out,
Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us.
Now Barabbas has been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
Pilate addressed them a third time.
What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been in prison for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. And at that time, people will say to the mountains, Fall upon us, and to the hills, cover us. For if these things are done, when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Now, two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
They divided his garments by casting lots, The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out,
"If you are a king of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
And then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, who witnessed what had happened, glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, readers. I invite you to stand as you're able, singing of the hymn, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded," number 351.
To call thee high.
You may be seated. A reading by Walter Wangren entitled Ragman. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever seen. Hush, child, hush now, and I'll tell it to you. Even before the dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Ah, the air was foul, and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags! New rags for old! I take your tired rags! Rags!" Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4". His arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular. His eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, than to be a ragman in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon, the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into her handkerchief, sighing, shedding a thousand tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her heart was breaking. Her shoulders shook. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin can, toys, and Pampers. "Give me your rags," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up. He laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and bright that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then, as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob so grievously as she had done. Yet she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing ragman, like a child who can't turn away from mystery. "Rags, rags, new rags for old." And in a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the ragman came across a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers. I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow it ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both my eyes and the sky now. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. "Are you crazy?" sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuck into his pocket. He had no arm. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket, and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk, lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched and wheezy and sick. He took the blanket, wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman. There he was, weeping uncontrollably, bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again. Exhausted, old, old and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed. On spiders' legs, he skidded through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next and beyond, and then he rushed further. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet, I needed to see where he was going. What drove him in haste, I needed to find out. This little old ragman, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And then I wanted to help him and what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army jacket, and he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junk car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope, because I had come to love this ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died. I sobbed myself to sleep. I didn't know, how could I know, that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and it's night too? But then on Sunday morning I was wakened by violence, light, pure, demanding light, slammed against my sour face, and I blinked. And I looked, and I saw the first and last wonder of all. There was the ragman, folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive. And besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow nor of age, and all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the ragman. I told him my name with shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. Then I took off my clothes in that place, and I said to him with deep yearning in my voice, "Dress me." He dressed me. My Lord, he dressed me. He put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The ragman, the Christ. Amen.
Tremble, tremble.
I invite you to join together in confessing our common faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.